ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमद्भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामी नित्य नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रसादिने निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी भास्कर्यादि सतारिणे श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासवि गौभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे तप्त कंचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी विशावनसुते देवी नमामि हरि प्रिये हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा नमोस्तुते। So the last time where we read from this book, Utkalika Valari, we talked a little bit about meditation, about Radha and Krishna, and we especially focused on verse 64, where a very specific meditation of painting the foreheads with colorful and fragrant pigments. The foreheads of Radha and Krishna was described. So here, now, in verse 64, Rupa Goswami again thinks himself to be highly unqualified for and not worthy to even beg for direct service of Radha and Krishna. But he feels, I have already gotten a very specific mercy, and on the strength of this mercy it may be possible for me to also get direct service. And this specific mercy, which not only Rupa Goswami, but to some degree also we have gotten, and which will give rise to more mercy, is to live in Vrindavan. Here's the verse for you. Idang seva bhagyam bhava vati sulabham yena yuvayos chatapyasya premnas pura tinaihi supta vapi mama padate sminyushmat vrajam anunivasena janitas tatapyashavanna parivritavaro mangradayati saha. O my Lord and Lady Sri Krishna and Sri Radha, the wealth of prema that bestows the good fortune of readily attaining your seva has not yet risen in my heart. I don't have prema which gives rise to attaining your direct service. No. Not even in my dreams have I experienced prema. Yet, because I am living permanently in this Vrindavan, where you perform your eternal leelas, my hope is strong and ever increasing. So this staying in Vrindavan has a few very, very interesting side effects. One effect is, according to Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur, that those who have taken shelter in Braj are considered by Sri Sri Radha and Krishna as their own people, almost like their family members. If you stay in Vrindavan, Radha and Krishna think, this is my person, this is my Gana. Here's the verse. It says from Vrindavan Mahimamrita, those who take shelter in Braj don't have to suffer the reaction from the activities performed or not performed. Those who have taken shelter in Braj cannot be touched by Maya. They are worshipped by all the good qualities and by Brahma and Shiva. And those who have taken shelter in Braj are blissfully counted as the dearest associates of Radha and Krishna. This might give you an explanation why the Brajbasis are so much worshipped always. We don't consider their activities, what they do at present or don't do at present, but we know they are here in Braj and they are Radha and Krishna's dear ones. No? We know this. So this is for everyone. This happens for everyone. Rupa Goswami says why living in Braj really puts you on a level of being an associate of Radha and Krishna. Let us first ask the question, who can really be counted as an associate or a near and dear one of Radha and Krishna? It's of course the person who is full of love for Radha and Krishna. Without this love, you are not close to Radha and Krishna. So Rupa Goswami says the results of living in Braj is that the mind becomes absorbed in Krishna in a loving mood. Maybe you have noticed this in your own case. When you are, as you are staying in Vrindavan, from time to time, maybe not permanently, maybe not yet constantly, but every so often you begin to really think of Radha and of Krishna. Does this happen to you? No? I think we cannot avoid. There's so much katha going on here and there and everywhere. Or you just need to stay here. You hear the kirtan even through the closed door, which reminds you of Radha and Krishna. So, but it's not just the activities which are performed here which sweep you up, so to say, or capture you. It's the atmosphere of Braj which is pervaded by the love of the and the affection of the gopis which make you remember Radha and Krishna. Even if you don't consciously bring about this memory, it is put on you. It rubs off, so to say. is this story which I like to tell of a Brahmana who lived in Haridwar and had heard that Vrindavan is the topmost holy place. So he went to Vrindavan and lived his life as a humble beggar. But life was always so difficult for him. He didn't get enough to eat. He became ill because the climate was hotter and colder than in Haridwar. The drinking water was salty, no longer this pure Ganga water, and he became often ill. And one day he just decided, I will leave Vrindavan. So on that day, he had done Madhukari and had a whole plate of nice prasadam before him. And then he sees a little boy coming and running towards him and stealing that plate. So this is too much. I think even Sebastian understands that this is too much of an austerity. Everything can go, but not the prasadam, you know. So he was very, very, very distressed. He said, Krishna, I've heard this is your home and you take care of those who visit you at your home. I heard you consider them as your own people, but instead I'm sick, I'm mental, and now on top of it all, my prasadam plate is stolen. You are not a very good lord. So he spoke like this, and he met a resident of Vrindavan and said, here in Vrindavan no one cares about Krishna. We all care about Radharani. Because Krishna is a little whimsical, but Radharani is most merciful. What you can do is, you can file a complaint at Radharani's office, and Krishna will be better, because there's only one thing he fears, that is the rejection of Radharani's. The Brahmana said, if this is how I get my plate of prasadam back, then I am going to do it. And he wrote a letter, and it's nicely described. He wanted to deliver the letter in Vasana, in Radharani's office, and as he very strongly developed the desire to see Radharani, it is described that this eagerness brought him to the qualification where he had a momentary a glimpse into the wonderful activities of Radharani. He entered into one particular part of the forest, and there he saw Radha, the queen of Vrindavan, on a jhulan, a swing, and being swung back and forth. There were sakis with the most amazing dresses, and they were waving bejeweled chamaras to give. And all of a sudden, next to Krishna, next to Radharani, appeared this mischievous little boy who had stolen the prasadam plate and made don't complain about me to Radharani. This would be my safe and sure Untergang. For those of you who do not speak the German language, Untergang means when you are in an ocean and you're drowning, and then you go to the bottom of the ocean and that's the end of you. Untergang. So don't mention this. I give you a few plates back, but don't mention this. So the Brahmana fainted because he did understand that in Vrindavan, Srimati, or Krishna is the with the servant of Srimati Radhika, he understood that, he saw that. So, yes, when you want to take shelter in Vrindavan and taste the Syam Ras, that is what Raghunath says, you must look for the dust which has fallen from Radha's lotus feet. You must walk on the paths where she has walked, and you must talk to her devotees who are very grave. Then only you can enter into the lake of Syam Ras, of Krishna with Rasa, with a wonderful, amazing taste. So, God. So, now he says, I don't feel I have any qualifications, but there's one thing, I'm living in Vrindavan, and this living in Vrindavan, that gives me a lot of, credit, so to say, because living in Vrindavan means you will develop your love and affection for Krishna in some ways. At least you will start. Papatya bhavadiya tam kalita nirmala prema bhir mahat bi api kamyate kim api yatra tanam januhu krita tagu jane api brajavane sitiye me jaya kripam kripa nagaminim sadasi no mitam evavam. So, O possessor of my life, Sri Krishna and Sri Radhika, I continually offer obeisances to your mercy, which, because it is always directed to the most fallen, has given me the good fortune of living in Sri Vrindavan, where the great premi devotees like Sri Uddhava, in a mood of servitorship, desire to take birth at the blade of grass or a bush. Rupa Goswami says, I continually offer my obeisances to your mercy, which is going even to the most fallen people and has given me something more than the great devotees like Uddhava have attained. I think you remember when Uddhava was sent by Krishna as a messenger to the residents of Vrindavan, he first gave his messages to the parents of Krishna and to the friends of Krishna, but finally he met the gopis in a secluded part of Vrindavan, Uddhava Kyari, and there he read a message of Krishna to the gopis. And when he saw how the gopis reacted, especially when he saw how Srimati Radharani reacted to the message, he did understand that of all devotees, Radharani is definitely the biggest devotee. And the gopis, who are her expansions, are also to be counted as the superlative devotees. And he also understood that to make advancement and come to this level, the same level, he would have to have the mercy of these gopis. Now he knew that I am Uddhava, a great Kshatriya, most probably the gopis will feel themselves so humble that they will not be able to give me any type of mercy. They will instead ask for my attention and my care and my mercy. So there is only one solution for me. I must give up this body as a kshatriya, and I must take to the form of a bush in Vrindavan. Not even on the regular paths, but somewhere in Vrindavan I will be a bush. And as this bush, earth-growing bush, I will then most probably get the mercy of the gopis, because Krishna will call the gopis with his flute, and the gopis will leave the regular path and run all over Vrindavan, and it is likely that they also come and that the dust from their feet is coming on me. And Uddhava knew that there are three very powerful substances so which prema bhakti or bhakti is given. It's through the dust from the feet of a great devotee, through the water which has washed their feet, and finally through the remnants from their plates. So Uddhava felt the gopis are the highest devotees, and I mean, I will not get the remnants from their plate, that's impossible. And also water from there, which has washed the feet. I mean, when will the water wash the feet? That won't work. But I will just live as a bush of Vrindavan, and then the gopis will run over me, and I will get the dust of their feet. You know, Brahma also asked for this, but Brahma wanted the water from the residence of Vrindavan. He said, I want to be born in the house of a devotee. In this way, he was hoping to get the water. He was thinking, when they come home, these devotees, then they will wash their feet outside the house. There is usually a foot washing place, and I will become a stone there, and that water which the devotees use to wash their feet will come on my stone-like existence, and in this way I will be blessed. So he says, Upala Swami says, I also want your mercy, which, because it is always directed to the most fallen, has given me the good fortune of living in Sri Vrindavan. Now, whose mercy is highest? Krishna says, he gives mercy in the degree of someone's surrender. I read today something in the Bhagavatam, which I wanted to read to you. When you surrender to Krishna, in that degree in which you surrender, Krishna will surely give you his mercy. It says here in the chapter Akura's arrival in Vrindavan, the Supreme Lord has no favorite and no dearmost friend, nor does he consider anyone undesirable, despicable or fit to be neglected. All the same, Krishna thinks those who are his dear most friends are the same. He doesn't get unnerved by someone. He doesn't think someone is fit to be neglected. He considers everyone the same. But he lovingly reciprocates with his devotee in whatever manner they worship him, just as the trees of heaven fulfill the desires of whoever approaches them. So when Krishna sees that someone is desiring his mercy very much, he reciprocates in exactly the same way in which someone comes to him. Yeya tamang papadyante tangstataiva bhajam viham. He is like a kalpa vriksha tree. Whatever you wish from the kalpa vriksha tree, that is what he gives. He doesn't give more, he doesn't give less, he gives according to the formula what you have given, what you have desired from him. So Krishna is like this, a little somewhat neutral, but he's inclined to his devotees. Now, Radharani is different in the compensation of her mercy, because her heart is melting with the quality of compassion. And this becomes especially clear when she is present as Gauranga Mahaprabhu. You know, Gauranga Mahaprabhu is Krishna, but in the mood of Radharani. He thinks like Radharani. Kavi Karnapurna has written about this. He has said, although God's mercy is dependent on his willpower, Krishna has to will to give you mercy, then he gives according to his desire. Still, sometimes his compassion becomes so great that it may overwhelm his willpower, which then becomes a pure assistant to his grace. In other words, as Krishna, the Lord has the desire to give people in the degree of their qualification and in the degree of their desire. But as Gauranga Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna in the mercy, in the mood of Radharani, he gives more mercy than even the people asked for. He gives more because he doesn't judge according to justice, but according to mercy. Mercy is just, you see someone and want to be merciful, and then you, in your heart, you just become very, very merciful, inclined. I don't know how to say it in a different way. So Radha's mercy is like an ocean. It does never dry, but it never dries up. It only increases. There are no crocodiles and sharks in Radha's mercy ocean. It is totally unobstructed. So when you want the highest degree of mercy, you must come on your knees to Radha Kund and pray to Radharani, who is overruled by compassion. Here's a commentary. Great personalities like Sri Uddhava, who are filled with spotless love and who have already attained the position of servants, also desire birth in Sri Vrindavan, even as a grass or a creeper, a bush or herb. In Srimad Bhagavatam, Uddhava has said, "It is very hard to renounce one's family members and social obligations, but in order to serve Sri Govinda with spontaneous and full-hearted commitment, all the gopis have indeed done this. They've given up family members, social obligations. Will I ever attain the dust of their lotus feet? I'm very eager for this, but the dust served by all the bushes, creepers, and herbs in Vrindavan is very rare. Oh, how I wish that I could take birth as one of those plants. I bow down again and again to your mercy, by whose influence I, who am so lowborn, have been brought to Vrindavan. The question is, how does that mercy act? And the answer is, it flows towards the fallen. That's the mercy of, especially, well, here says Krishna, Radha and Krishna, but we are a little partial here. We live at Radha Kund and we like to show how Radha's mercy ranges supreme. Now, we always hear the love of the gopis is being praised. And Uddhava wants to have that type of love, loving mood, and for this reason wants to be graced by the dust from the gopis' lotus feet. A question here comes up. Why do we say the gopis' love is the highest? What is so special about it? And if there's anything we can learn from it, even in a small, little beginner's way, what could that be? And Uddhava has given his explanation, what he thinks is so good, so especially the gopis. The gopis have renounced what is very difficult to renounce for Krishna's sake. They have totally taken shelter in Krishna. You know, when the flute of Krishna called them, they left their families, and with it all security which society could offer. They left the society and they said, we give our lives in the hands of Krishna. So this is called taking shelter, and this is a very a very important activity for those who wish to enter a little bit into Braj Bhakti. They need to take shelter. And there are two types of taking shelter. One is, this Jiva Goswami has written, to know that there is no other shelter. You take shelter in Krishna, knowing that there is no other shelter. I had this on Govardhan Parikrama when I had my moments of, I thought I wouldn't be possible to continue this, so I had to take shelter, and I knew there is no other, there is no one up here, there is no one around, except for Giriraj, who's always there. And I pray to Giriraj, please Giriraj, accept my little service to you. And so, knowing that there is no other shelter, then you take shelter in Krishna. The second type of looking for shelter is something which I believe is very relevant for us. When a person out of ignorance has taken other types of shelter, money, and a financial situation, and in his body, in his, you know, whatever, then such a person who practices a second type of Sharanagati gives up this other form of shelter and says, this doesn't work any longer, comes to Krishna. I think we all have in some ways taken shelter in our body and in our mind, and we have not yet all come to the level where we say this doesn't work. We have in some ways still some trust in our other shelters. I don't, at least I have. You might also search your heart. So if you want to take shelter, or if you want to enter into Braj Bhakti and follow the example of the greatest devotees, you have to learn to take shelter in one of these two ways. Either you know that there is no other shelter, just immediately go to Krishna, or you give up the false shelter which you have taken, and then go to Krishna. This is what is the speciality of the gopis. They have given up the shelter of their families, and they came to Krishna, and they told him. Krishna sent them back, and then they told him, "It's not good. You are the Lord. You are Narayan. Those who take shelter of Narayan's lotus feet, were they ever sent back? So why do you send us back from the forest to the society? This is not good. This is not consistent. As Narayan, you never do this. So why do you do it now, although you are Narayan? This is not consistent. Please be a little bit more consistent. You know, not do something here sometimes and then do something else there." I find this a very, very important entry gate into the Vrindavan consciousness, to take shelter in at the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. And you can do that in various ways. One is, for instance, you can take shelter in the humble servant service. And I always found out, when you do this, when you take shelter in some ways in Radha and Krishna's, then something happens. A gate opens, and you enter the real Vrindavan. For instance, I'm trying to do the Naam Vrata. I must admit it's not easy, because that Dandavat Parikrama took more time than I thought it would take, and now I'm chanting my rounds and trying to catch up with the and I know there comes a time when you do this, where you just have to take shelter in the holy name. Just today I had this picture. Actually, although I'm taken care of so nicely by Ananda Chaitanya and Rangini and Ranga Devi and Anandini and Sri Radhika and Rakesh and so many wonderful devotees who are like the backup team. When it comes to doing what I have to do, I'm really all alone. I'm sitting here all alone, and I'm calling all alone for Radha and Krishna, and I liked it very much. I somehow think if you want to take shelter, you need to learn to be sometimes alone. Because when you are always surrounded with so many other people and so many other arrangements, you tend to take shelter in these other arrangements and with these other people. And you do not take exclusive shelter of Radha and Krishna. It's not necessary. You have other shelters, you know the reason. You don't feel it's necessary. So it's face the loneliness in order to take shelter. Face the loneliness in order to take real shelter. That is a very, very important sometimes. Very important. We are always surrounding ourselves with other types of shelters. But look at the gopis. I mean, just look at this example. Try to understand it. If a lady in the contemporary in that society would leave the house in the night without anyone knowing where she would be going, or in this case, going to a lover, going to Krishna, she was really thrown out of the society. We know this from Ramayana, this Leela. You must be aware of when Ram went undercover in the town to find out what the people think about him. He chanced to meet this, who was it? A washer, isn't it? A washer who had, it was in the morning, I believe, and his wife had been away in the night, and he said, I don't want to see your face any longer. You cannot cross over the threshold of this house anymore. You have been outside in the night, and I do not know about your chastity. I'm not like Ram, a hand-picked husband who accepts his wife even after 6 months, or I don't know how long Sita was absent. I'm not like that. So the society at that time was so restricted that this was the ultimate sin for a woman, to not be in the house in the night. It is maybe difficult to understand this in a modern context where we travel so much and so on, but if you understand the context of the old times, where people, you know, where life would go down when the night descended, I think you can understand. I even feel while I'm here, I'm very sensible to atmosphere. When it's getting dark, I feel to not go anywhere any longer. No? What feels like this, because that is the culture here. Only when one goes for the discussion of Hari, one can go in the night somewhere, then that's alright. Then we are like the gopis running out. I want to say, because we have some devotees who are traveling after, when it's dark, to attend these lectures. But, you know, usually when it's dark, you stay at home. And in the old times, there were, you know, there were little villages and jungles. I mean, it was just simply not safe to go anywhere. So the gopis went. Their husbands, in some cases, tried to stop them, and they avoided the husband and went nevertheless. And it was known that they would associate most properly with Krishna. And that meant they left everything they left behind. It's like throwing away your passport in the modern times, or in the semi-modern times, in the medieval times, it's like the, here comes another German word, Reichsacht. You may not know what is a Reichsacht. It was, in Germany, this was it was the ultimate rejection by society. Someone who got the Reichsacht, the Reichsacht said, this person has no rights whatsoever. His possessions can be plundered. When he walks on the street, there will be no safety for this person. Thieves and murderers can kill him. There is no protection offered by the government. It's a terrible thing. Martin Luther got the Reichsacht. I once wrote the words down. You know, it's a really terrible thing. The government can give this rejection. It means you are absolute vogelfrei. Oh my God, this German language is very difficult to translate. Vogelfrei means you don't have even a shadow of rights any longer. Nothing. Not even the right to exist somewhere. If someone wants to kill you, let him go ahead. No one will jump in for your defense. That's the ultimate punishment which a society can give. And the gopis got that type of punishment. It's the exact the same thing. They were rejected, they were banned from society because of doing this thing, going to Krishna in the midst of the night. So this is called full surrender, giving up all other shelters and taking shelter with Krishna only. And the gopis didn't need to think about it. Yesterday we were in the car and there was one devotee with us who had given 70% of his liver to another devotee, you know, in a surgical operation. And you know, one of us in the car commented, if today Ananda Chaitanya would ask me, can you please give me 70% of your liver? I don't know if I would be surrendered enough to give 70% of the liver. I would have to think about it first, you know. So the gopis didn't just give 70% of their liver, they gave their whole life to Krishna. This is called surrender. You look at me, and I am looking at you. This is the example of the gopis. That's why they are the highest devotees. And they do this, why? Because of love. The highest form of love. Surrender is only a lakshana, an ornament of that loving mood which they had. And I think it's very remarkable. So when you want to stay in Vrindavan, you need to practice that surrender in some ways. If surrender is not established in your heart, you will not be able to worship Krishna or Radha Krishna nicely. I want to repeat this. If surrender is not established nicely in your heart, you will not be able to worship Radha Krishna. Because it's important, I really want to repeat it the third time. If surrender is not established in your heart, you just can't worship Radha and Krishna with love from your heart. It just doesn't come. And we learn this, really, this is the example of these super, super, super exalted devotees. But be happy Rupa Goswami says, I may not have the wealth of prema that bestows the good fortune of readily attaining your seva. So I don't have this prema based on surrender, which gives us the good fortune of doing your seva, but I'm living in Vrindavan. The Valadev Vidyabhushana says, O best of masters, Shishi Radha Krishna, the prema that gives the good fortune of easily attaining your seva has never even flashed in my dreams. One might then ask, in that case, you must be quite discouraged, no? The reply is, that splendor of prema does not manifest even in my dreams. I don't have this prema, this surrender. But still, because I'm living in Braj, the abode of your pastimes, the hope of receiving the good fortune of the seva grows stronger. So this is now the wonderful thing in Vrindavan Dham. You don't need let us express it in a less, in not such a thought-provoking way. Vrindavan Dham gives you that attachment in your heart for Radha Krishna. It will come. And when you have an attachment, surrender is so easy. See, we always think, in the West at least, we think, okay, if I surrender, then prema. Prasharnarati, the prema. But here in Vrindavan, the thoughts are going in the other direction. First attachment, then everything else. And the wonderful gift of attachment is given freely here in Vrindavan Dham. It's very freely. That's why Dham Vasa is giving even to a neophyte some loving attachment. And you constantly see also these things which just convince you. I heard yesterday, I believe it was yesterday from Radhanath Maharaj, but I'm not sure. I think I read it somewhere else. There was a Brahmana once who wanted to make some money, and he went to a merchant in Mathura for that reason, to don't know, to just possess some trade or something to make money yet in his mind. So on his way back to his home, he crossed through the forests near the Govardhan, and as he was going through the forest, a terrible man-eating Rakshasa demon came out and began to pursue and follow him. So that Brahman, in his helplessness, took one Giriraj stone and threw it towards that Rakshasa. It hit the Rakshasa on the body. And when it did so, when the Giriraj hit, the Brahmana was helpless. He had to run for his life. And then that demon turned into a four-armed form and was about to go back home, back to God. And so the Brahmana said, this is what happened. And before you go, tell me your story. And the previous demon said, I was a sinner. And he described a few lifetimes of terrible sins. But Giriraj is Krishna himself, and he has hit me, and I have come, I've taken on my personal form again, my spiritual form. So that Brahmana had seen the power of Giriraj, and on the strength of what he had seen, he decided to stay in Vrindavan and not go anywhere else. So similar things do happen to all of us. We also see or experience certain things, and when these experiences and these feelings become strong enough, we desire to never leave Vrindavan. That will come. Now we still think of this and that external circumstance are very disturbing, but it will change. It will change. Yeah, now still have a few more days in the month of Kartik, and we will celebrate. We will now put Utkalika Vivalari to rest, and tomorrow, if Mahaprabhu wills, we will open it again at the next verse. But for now, let us try to practice some surrender, which is the guarantee for direct service. Krishna. Today I saw a very nice scene which I cannot forget. I was just sitting next to Tulsi and chanting, and then I heard this noise. At first I didn't know this, who's chanting, and it's not me, no. And then I looked outside the gate and I saw a black dog whom I haven't seen a few times. And he was surrounded by monkeys, three or four, this is untypical, and he was looking over Lalita Kund in some direction, and he just called out in separation, and he was so sad, and I felt maybe he's calling for Radha and Krishna, and the monkeys who were with him were just so understanding. They pat him a little bit on the head, not so bad, you know, you will survive it. And I felt, wow, everyone is a devotee, let me also call out for Krishna in my own way. It was such a loving scene. I felt so strengthened in my Krishna consciousness. Even the dog was mournfully, it was all alone. Good. So Hare Krishna, we will end here.